This is Radio Boston. I'm Sharon Brody in for Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We're going to begin today with a word or two about the complexity of the job that the jury in the trial of James Whitey Bulger is now facing. The four women and eight men have been deliberating 14 hours now over 3 days. This morning, Judge Denise Casper told them they should try to reach verdicts in all of the allegations contained in the racketeering charge against Bulger.
That charge includes 33 acts, including the 19 murders that Bulger allegedly planned and took part in. So it's a long and sweeping indictment, which involved weeks of testimony, and it may have been the source of that flurry of questions from the jury yesterday.
As we continue to wait for a verdict, we're joined by Nancy Gertner for some analysis of what is or what might not be going on in that jury room. She's got a better idea than most of us because she's a retired federal judge and a Harvard Law School professor. And Nancy Gertner, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thank you.
So let me ask you about sort of the latest that we know. We know that the jury not long ago asked to see a machine gun from the evidence against Bulger. Now, the weapons charges are the last on the jury verdict form. Does that mean jurors are nearing the end of deliberations, or should we not conclude that?
Let me say as a caveat that the worst thing that anyone could do is try to predict what a jury will do.
I've heard that from a lot of people.
Yeah, you never know. And so, yes, it could mean that they're going down the list and that's where they're ending. Sometimes it could mean that they skipped over things that were complicated and they wanted to get together on the what seemed to be the easier counts. It's really, really hard to know. Generally, though, in a long trial, it's not a surprise that the deliberations take longer because the jury wants to sort of repay the effort that went into the case and tends to feel that they have to go through everything precisely because of the amount that had been submitted to them. So the length of the deliberation sometimes matches the length of the trial, and particularly in a case of this complexity.
Sure. Well, let me ask you about those instructions from Judge Casper this morning. She basically said that they have to try to reach verdicts in all of the allegations contained in that racketeering charge against Bulger. It includes 33 acts, including the 19 murders. So they have to go through 33 separate acts. That could be one of the reasons why this is taking as long as it's taking, right?
Right. I mean, the government made a choice here. The government made a choice to include in this indictment everything. They didn't have to. The sentence could be framed by finding guilt on, you know, any one of those, murder, native racketeering, substantial sentence could come from an extortion charge. Government made a choice here that they wanted to air everything. And that's really, and that decision complicates the jury's determination.
But how does that work? If they go through all 33 of these acts and they don't come to a unanimous verdict on all of them, he's still found guilty. I mean, right? In other words, they don't have to come to a unanimous verdict on all of them.
They only need to come to if you're talking about racketeering acts,
yes,
overt acts in connection with the racketeering offenses, they only need two as to which they have to come to a unanimous verdict. In other words, it can't be someone who says, gee, I think it's racketeering act three, and the rest say one. There have to be two that they all agree, beyond a reasonable doubt, comprise a racketeering act. They don't have to do all of them.
I see.
But as I said, you know, if they may well feel that if evidence has been presented on it, that they ought to go through that evidence, even though they don't need to for the purposes of coming up with a verdict that would trigger a sentencing obligation.
Sure.
So that could well be what they're doing.
And Nancy, yesterday, everyone at the courthouse, it seemed, was sort of whipped into a frenzy several times as the attorneys were called in. They huddled in a sidebar with Judge Casper. They were given documents, then ushered out. Since all the parties are under a gag order, it's anyone's guess as to what was going on. But I'm curious, how typical is that early on in deliberations? And do you have any idea what was going on as a former judge?
Well, so sometimes there could be a jury question that could be as simple as we need more paper and as difficult as, you know, what does this what does this instruction mean? Every time the jury communicates with the court has to go to talk to the lawyers, and there can be no communication with the court that is not shared with the lawyers. So the range of what the communication could be very serious to not particularly serious. But everything requires that level of formality. So one just doesn't know. Sometimes it could be, should we let them deliberate until 5? And again, even the scheduling decisions have to be made jointly. The judge simply cannot communicate with the jury in a way that the lawyers don't know and don't weigh in on.
Mm. Final question, Nancy. I know you made it very clear that anyone who takes on trying to predict what a jury is going to do or when they're going to get it done is sort of on a fool's errand. But they've been at it now 14 hours over 3 days. Any part of you at all surprised by how long this is taking?
I'm not surprised at all, given the instructions were 80 pages. The verdict slip is 7 pages. The trial took, 35 days? What oftentimes happens is that, you don't want a jury to give you a gestalt judgment. You want them to go over the evidence in the way this jury has. So that's not a surprise to me. We often have seen verdicts, however, on Friday afternoon. Somehow the weekend concentrates the mind. That has happened.
Nothing like a deadline to concentrate
That's
the mind.
Right.
Nancy Gertner, professor at Harvard Law School and a former federal judge, thank you as always.
Thank you, Anthony.
We're
Take
very,
care.
Very grateful. And WBUR listeners, of course, stay with us when that verdict does come in. We will be here to bring it into you.
Stay with us. Coming up, cheating, lots of cheating, and what we can do to stop it in the classroom. I'm Sharon Brody.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.